So I'd like to welcome you today to the third part in Discovering Your and Developing Your Divine Design Seminar. The title of today's workshop seminar is simply Discover Your Divine Design, putting the pieces together. Now there's something pretty fascinating that I know that you wanted to hear about, and that is moving cells. Moving cells. I know I've got your attention and I know you're excited to learn about moving cells. Well, maybe that's not as remarkable. Because after all, we've known about moving cells since the 1600s. So we know about moving cells for about 400 years. When Antoine van Leeuwenhoek wrote about it in a notebook after squinting through a homemade microscope. But how cells move, that is something really to talk about. So just bear with me for just a moment. Scientists will tell you that inside the cells, there's frantic activity, much like a construction site where a large or huge building is being erected. And that building is being erected overnight. Or a humming and a highly coordinated beehive. Or a bustling city. These are some of the things that moving cells have been likened to. They'll also tell you that it's like none of these because everything is so tiny and moving at breakneck speed. Interestingly, long stringy molecules of DNA are orchestrating this activity. And under the supervision of the DNL cells, a cell will break down and build up thousands of proteins, moving them around to help the cell accomplish various functions. Because of this precision, we live. This precision is needed in order for us to actually live. And if the cell decided that it wanted to do its own thing, I'd hate to imagine what the impact would be on the quality of my and your living. Moving cells and how they function, and each cell moving within its orchestrated design, is imperative to how or to the quality of yours and my life. And so, what would happen if God's people fulfilled their specific function and lived in harmony with their divine design, and allowed God to orchestrate their lives? What would happen if they decided to do their own thing and decided to not inquire about their divine design and inquire about their spiritual gifts and where they would best be suited in the work of God? What would happen to the work of God then if we decided, like cells, to just do our own thing? But on the flip side, imagine what it would be like if we were orchestrated and we were doing the very thing that God designed us to do. What a benefit it would be to the function of the church. Amen? There's no doubt about that. Now today we're going to be doing some practical activities. But first of all, I want to just quickly review with you what we talked about last week when we were looking at the pieces of our puzzle. Today we're putting the pieces together. So we talked about the need to know who we are. Understanding, first of all, what's wrong with us, that is the sin problem. And then also understanding what is right with us, our dignity, how God views us, and what God wants to do with our lives now that our hearts have been converted and given to Jesus, what He can do with us and how He can lead us to serve Him. Knowing who we are also involves knowing our capabilities. Remember, we read a statement from the Pen of Inspiration where she talks about knowing our capabilities. These capabilities are spiritual gifts, our passions, our temperament, and our natural gifts and talents. And then, knowing who you are also involves character. That's very important. Character involves being, and it's a matter of the heart. Whereas your design involves doing and is a matter of your gifts, talents, and your abilities. Now, you've got all these notes, and if you didn't get last week's notes, they're over here for you to pick up after today's seminar. So we discussed this last week. Being must always precede doing. Because what you do, that is your ministry function, flows out of who you are, your character. That's the most important thing, your character. We need to be more concerned about the fruit of the Spirit than about the gifts of the Spirit. But you'll learn as we get into this here today that knowing our spiritual gifts are vitally important, but not more important than developing and having the fruit of the Spirit. We also talked about liking who we are. And Jesus tells us in Matthew 19, verse 19, to love our neighbor as ourselves. I'm just going to twist this around. Sorry. There we go. Loving yourself involves respecting yourself. And then we also talked about being who we are. Knowing who we are, liking who we are, and then being who we are, which involves living a life of authenticity and even a life of vulnerability. When we give ourselves to the Lord and His service, we make ourselves vulnerable. And but we can know that we're in good hands when we're being used by the Lord. So that's what we talked about last week. And now you probably can turn to your handout, and we're going to go down spiritual gifts. Last week we did a quick overview about our capabilities. We talked about passions, we talked about spiritual gifts, temperament, we even talked about your leadership role, and natural gifts and abilities. Today, we're going to focus in on spiritual gifts. We'll talk a little bit again about passions, your passion. We'll also talk about your temperament, and you'll be doing an indicator on each of these, a survey on each of these. And also, we'll talk about natural gifts and abilities. So we're going to hone in on those four areas, and hopefully we'll get somewhere today. Hopefully what we discover and what you discover will be very helpful to you. Now, let's talk briefly about spiritual gifts. I'm not going to give a big preamble to each of these capabilities, but I do want to talk about spiritual gifts briefly. The scriptures indicate or teach us that it is important to determine our spiritual gifts. It's important to learn and to determine and to know what our spiritual gifts are. You remember the definition we gave you last week? A spiritual gift is a unique, that is, it's yours, God-given ability, not to pat yourself on the back and not to be puffed up, but to serve. That's what spiritual gifts are. A spiritual gift is a unique God-given ability for service. And we'll talk about this here just a little bit. Scriptures tell us that it's important to determine our spiritual gifts. Now, Timothy, when Paul wrote to him, instructed him in 2 Timothy, you can just write this down, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul instructed Timothy to fan into flame the gift of God. So Paul was encouraging Timothy to know what his gifts were, and of course to fan it, he had to know what his gifts were, and then to fan that flame of his spiritual gift. In other words, utilize, put into operation your spiritual gift. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you have your Bibles, let's turn over there, and we'll talk a little bit and develop this idea of spiritual gifts. The Bible says it's important to develop our spiritual gifts. Paul instructs Timothy to fan into flame his gift. Paul is exhorting him to involve himself in the exercise of his gift. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 31, Paul concludes a discussion regarding spiritual gifts. And I want you to notice this imperative. This is not a suggestion. It's actually a command. Notice. He says, but do what? Earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. So he concludes his discussion on spiritual gifts with an imperative. Eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now, in chapter 13 of the same chapter of the same book, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he then describes our highest pursuit. What is our highest pursuit according to 1 Corinthians 13? To love one another. That's right. That's our highest pursuit. That's a fruit of the Spirit, you see. To love one another. That's our highest pursuit. But then in chapter 14, verse 1, notice, Notice what he says. He says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy or that you may preach or proclaim the message. And so Paul brings two ideas together in this particular verse. He says, follow the way of the love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Now this brings to light two questions. First, how could the believers at that time eagerly desire spiritual gifts if they did not know what they were? And the second question is, why should they desire them if they weren't important? And those are simply rhetorical questions. If Paul is encouraging the believers to desire spiritual gifts, then a person must know what spiritual gifts are. And in order to desire spiritual gifts, it must be important in order for them to be desired. Would you agree?
Sure.
And so let's talk a little bit about ways to discover our spiritual gifts. This seven-step gift discovery process has been shared, and I'd like to share it with you as well. We're just going to run down this, and then what I'm going to have you do, I'm going to get into some practical work and look at a gift ability inventory or a gift ability survey. So here are the seven steps to a gift discovery process. It's not just one thing that you are to do. And this discovery process, you could apply even to discovering your temperament or your passions, more particularly spiritual gifts. First of all, pray. Prayer is so vital. Pray for wisdom and insight in your personal ministry in general, and then pray for that God will help you understand your spiritual gift in particular. When you pray, and this is what we are to do when we pray, we're to stay alert and watch for the answers, the opportunities that God may give us, right? So don't pray and then bury your head in the sand and don't be observant to what the answer that God might be bringing you. But be alert, be aware of the answer that He may send you. Make prayer intentional and use it as an integrity check. So pray, Lord, I really want to know my spiritual gift. Lord, I want to know my spiritual gift or gifts. I want to know where I can be placed in your service. Teach me and continue to pray and be open to how He's leading and the opportunities He opens up for you. Sometimes those opportunities might involve someone coming along and saying, hey, I noticed that you seem to be interested in these particular areas, and it lines up with a particular spiritual gift. Why don't you come over and give us a hand? We need your help. And you give it a try, and you begin to see that maybe this is something God might be leading you to do. So pray. Number two, study. Study. Go to the chapters in the Bible that deal with spiritual gifts. Do you remember what those chapters are? Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and then Ephesians chapter 4. That's right. So those three areas. And you could even go to 1 Peter chapter 4 as well if you like. And so study the spiritual gifts. Read and pray over the gifts listed. Though the Bible's not clear as to the meaning of each particular gift, God will help you seek to discern the nature of each gift and how to use that gift. As you do a little Bible study, it becomes a little more evident. And I'll give you in this inventory, you'll have a list of the spiritual gifts with an explanation of what that spiritual gift entails. It won't be the full sum of it. It'll be what can be gleaned from the Word of God, and it serves as a great springboard for moving forward in the discovery process. So you'll be able to use the inventory definitions as a guide. And when you go through this list, you can ask the question, what particular spiritual gifts interest me the most? What stands out to me? As I'm going down this list, what jumps off the page at me? So study about the spiritual gifts and see if something impresses you, see if something jumps out at you. Number three, analyze. This is the objective side of the gift discovery process. It involves taking the spiritual gifts inventory. Okay? So pray, study the spiritual gifts, and then do the inventory. We'll do that here in just a little bit. Number four, experience. It's difficult, if not impossible, to discover your gift while you're sitting at the dining room table at home or sitting on the pew at church. You've got to get involved and try to exercise what the gift you think God has given you. And so experience it. See if it's working. See if other people can tell that you're finding your fit. And then number five, fulfillment. Yes, while spiritual gifts is primarily for service, it doesn't obliterate the idea that you should experience some fulfillment in what you do. Your spiritual gifts are things that perhaps you would end up finding that you like to do, and you would find fulfillment in those things. Now, I will say this. Your spiritual gift that you discover, or you may know about even now, maybe you don't like. But pray that God will help you change your heart so that you will accept His design for you. That's what we've been talking about, how He designed you. So there should be a degree of fulfillment to the as you put into practice your gift. And then number six, confirmation. Confirmation. That comes from two sources. That comes from your abilities. That is, you see yourself improving. And it also comes from people who'll tell you the truth about whether that's a spiritual gift of yours or not. And so those things are very, very important. That's number six. And number seven, fruit. If God has called you and wants to use you in a particular area, in your particular area of giftedness, you're going to see results of fruit from implementing that gift in service. You will see that things around you and in that particular area of ministry is improving. You'll see individuals making a better or a bigger or even just a commitment to Jesus Christ. You'll begin to see fruit from your labor. All right, so with that, I'm going to jump over to the spiritual gift survey. I'm going to need a couple of hands. What I've got here for you is, what I've got here for you is a gift ability inventory. And we're going to take the time to go through this today and take it question at a time. This is the one that's going to take most of our time today. We're going to look at also passions. But you're going to do the passions indicator. That's going to be yours to do. But today we're going to do the gift ability inventory, and we're also going to be doing a personality test. Personality test, a temperament test, and then we'll also do a gifts and talents test. We'll be doing several today. All right, so the gift ability inventory is being handed out, and for your sake and for those that will be listening afterwards, we want to let you know that what you're about to receive or have received is not the final answer to your discovery of your gift. Because we already looked at seven steps. This is, remember, just step number one. Step number three or four. Analyze, right? Analyze. This is a part of the analysis process of discovering your spiritual gift. You've been praying. You've been studying. And you'll probably study more. You'll from here, you'll experience. Try to put into practice the spiritual gift, the conclusion that you come to on this survey. But keep in mind that this is simply designed to pinpoint potential areas of giftedness. Now remember, there are two areas of gift. There are two things you're looking at, your gift mix or your gift cluster. Remember, your gift mix is that you may have several strong gifts, and they all pretty much are as strong as each other. That's a gift mix. Some of you may have a gift cluster where you have one prominent gift and then you've got several gifts supporting that one gift. That's a gift cluster. So again, this survey is designed to help pinpoint areas, not give you a final answer, but help at least pinpoint potential spiritual gifts that that God has given you. And so we'll pray again in just a moment, but I want to go through this survey with you. We're going to ask the Lord to lead us. But here it is. You'll notice on page number one, you've got column A. Go to the back of the handout, and you'll turn to a page like this. Gift Ability Inventory Worksheet. Okay? You see that there? All right. So column number A is column number A. Oh, you're so smart. All right. So column A on this page number one is referencing column A on this page. Now, let's look at question number one. It says, and I want you to do this, okay? I want you to answer this question, okay? Now, what you're going to do, you're going to be scoring yourself from 1 to 5. 1 to 5. 4. Excuse me, 1 to 4. 4 is high. If the statement represents, if a best represents you, then you would put 4. And then it tells us if it's a lower degree of intensity or frequency, score yourself a 2 or 3. If it has nothing to do with anything that you know about yourself, then that's a 1. Okay? So if it speaks to you, if it speaks about you, and you see that's pretty, that's me, 4. If you say, well, yeah, maybe sometimes, that's a 2. If it's more than sometimes, a 3. But if it's never or hardly ever, then that's a 1. Okay, is that clear? All right, let's do number 1 to column A. God frequently gives me a clear picture of what will happen in the future. Somehow you have this ability to see things happen before they happen. Not in every detail, but you have this hunch. You're able to just kind of see things happen before they happen. So if that sounds like you, well, yeah, that happens quite a bit. That's like, well, man, what is he talking about? Well, that's number 1, all right? And you would put that in column A under question number 1, okay? Question number 1. Now, you're going to notice under column A on page number 1, you're going to notice there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 21 questions. 21 questions to each of the columns. And those 21 questions represent, or the answers to those that have been put on this worksheet on the back. So question number 1 under column A, right here. Question number 2 under column A, right here. And you just keep on going down the list. All right? Then there are 3 other columns. There's column B, column C, column D. They'll also have 21 questions each. And you'll be answering accordingly. All right? Is this clear so far?
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. What we're going to do is pray. We're going to just ask the Lord again to be with us, to guide our thoughts and our thinking. And I want to encourage you, remember, generally the first answer that comes to your mind is generally the right answer. Now, I don't want to say there's right or wrong answers, but it's generally the best answer. And so keep that in mind. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we're taking one step in the process here in discovering our spiritual gifts. And we need your guidance, we need your wisdom. Lord, we want to know how you've made us and how you've equipped us for your ministry. And so we pray that you will guide our thinking, help us not to be distracted by the things going on around us, just to focus and speak to our hearts and our minds, we pray. And Lord, we thank you for that because we know when we claim your promises, found in James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and does not withhold. We can claim that promise. We know when we ask, we shall receive. And so we thank you for answering our prayer here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so start with column A, and you're going to go down. You've done question 1 already. You're going to go down each question down column A. When you're done with column A, just keep moving to the next column. Column B, column C, column D. Now, let me just say this too. When you get to column A, column B, try to hide the answers to column A. And do that for column C and D as well. You don't want those numbers to influence the answers for the next columns. Okay? Just read the question and answer the question as honestly as you possibly know how. Okay? If you have a question, just throw up your hand and I'll run over and see if I can't help you. Just walk us through the how to tally and figure out which gift is what here. So if you are done or just about finished, I'm on the gift ability inventory worksheet, and I want to walk through this with you here real quick. So, you've got question number one, and you've got columns A, B, C, and D. All you simply do is you add up column A, B, C, and D across from left to right and put the total number in the total box. I know that seems very self-explanatory, but believe you me, I've done this lecture elsewhere and it's not always as self-explanatory as you would think. So question number one, answer A, B, C, and D. Add those up left to right, put it in the total box. Do that for question number two. Question number three, and do that all the way down to question number 21. You'll have in that total column, you'll have a variety of different numbers. What you want to do is you want to take the highest number, let's say is 16, and that's the highest number you have, then you'll rank that in the rank column. Put next to it, you'd write rank number one. If you have two 14s, then you would rank those 14s as number two, and then you want to look at the third ranking. You may have two of those that are maybe 12 each, and then you would just rank those as number three. Now the question that often comes is, okay, well how do I know what gift that is? How do I know what gift that is? I'm ranked number one here, but how do I know what it is? If that number, let's say you're ranked number one under question number five, go to your gift ability definitions, your gift definitions, and next to each definition is a number. And in this case, number five would be encouraging. That would be the gift of encouraging. And so you would write that next to rank number one, encouraging. Let's just say rank number two. Let's just say rank number two is number 10. And you don't know what gift that is. Go to your gift definitions, number 10. That would be apostle. So we have apostle in our midst. And you would just write apostles so that you know what gift it is. So in other words, the number of the question corresponds with the gift number in the gift definitions. Each gift definition has a number, and that number corresponds with the questions 1 through 21. All right? You'll notice at the end of the gift definitions, we've added four extras. And from martyrdom, celibacy, tongues, and interpretation, we're not dealing with those at this point. We're just dealing with the first 21. Okay, so don't be confused by that. You'll be numbering yours, testing yours based on the first 21, up to craftsmanship, the gift of craftsmanship. Okay. Still trying? All right, keep at it. Just keep at it. I'm going to have to move forward though, for the sake of time and for those that are here. So what you're going to do is you're going to add up columns A through D, and make sure you put the total number in the total column, and then rank your numbers. So again, your highest one is 16. That's number one. And then you're going to rank down to number three, second rank in ranking order, and then number three in your ranking column. And then list the gift ability name, and the gift ability name is the gift ability definition, and the gift is corresponding with the question number on the outside of this on the outside column. So question number 1, 2, 3 to under 21 corresponds with your gift definitions starting on page number 5. So one is prophecy, that's question number one. Question number two is serving. Question number three is helping. Question number four is teaching. Question number five is encouraging. Do you get that? You see that? All right, so you've got to make sure that you rank them.
Okay.
So go ahead and rank them first. So whatever's your highest number out of all of those would be number one. You're ranking that number one. And whatever comes in second is rank number two. Whatever comes in third, rank number three. That's it. Don't do 4, 5, 6 to 20. Don't. Just 1, 2, and 3, that's it. You're not interested in the ones that are down, you know, 5 or 6 or 3 or whatever. It should be 3, it should be 4. You're not interested in those. You're looking at the highest numbers, the top 3. Those are the ones you're interested in. Okay?
She told me. I thought we did.
Okay. All right, good.
Did it wrong.
Right. No problem. Then this number here corresponds with the gift definition. You thought just trying to find out what your spiritual gift is challenging. I know this inventory worksheet isn't always that easy either. All right. So make sure that you mark down the ranking, 1, 2, or 3, and then list out to the right-hand side the gift ability. The gift ability name. Okay? All right. Now remember that what you've just done is 1 step in 7. 1 step in 7. One thing that you'll want to do now that you've got the gift ability inventory is go back and read and study those different gifts. The biblical definitions, look up the Bible story or the Bible text and acquaint yourself with those and see if there's some resonation between your scores and what you've studied. And then, of course, and we'll talk about this on the 28th when we come back together again, we'll talk about making the application of our discoveries. We'll discuss that at another time. Okay. Now, we've got a couple other things to do before we wrap up here today. So moving right along. I see you're still alive. I think I'm just going too fast. Anyone have any questions on the gift ability? Have you figured it out? Everything's okay?
Okay, so
this is rank number 1.
Yeah.
Okay, so number 4. That's the highest score. So this is number 4. You're going to go to your gifts, starting on page number 5. Okay, that's number 1.
Wow.
That's number 2, 3, 4, and 5. So you write that next to the number. All right, good. It's important to do it properly or I'm just wasting your time. So everyone clear on how it works? Everyone's pretty much got it? Wonderful. Okay, good. All right. Okay. What are your passions? We're looking at several today. We're not going to do this indicator, but I put a sheet in front of you, and it's called Passion Indicator. I handed out 2 forms. That's the one on the bottom. First one I handed out. Passion Indicator. Remember from our definition last week, what are your passions? What is a passion? It is a God-given capacity to attach ourselves emotionally to something or someone for an extended period of time to meet a need. That's passion. And so we're not going to do the passion indicator right now. This is something that you'll do between now and the next time we meet. But you'll notice on the passion indicator there are 10 questions. 10 questions. The 10 questions are designed to stimulate your thinking and to get you to think about what gets your juices flowing, what makes you what gets you passionate, what are those things that you're very interested in, things that are that maybe keep you up at night sometimes. And you'll notice there are 10 questions. For example, question number 1, make a list of everything about which you feel strongly and care deeply. This is a powerful exercise that I want to really encourage you to do, and you've got 2 weeks to do this. So make a list of everything for which you feel strongly and care deeply. Number 2, do you have a burning conviction that a certain ministry is the most important place that God would have you? If so, what is that? Okay, so thinking, praying about that. I'm not going to go through every question. You're going to take this and do this in your own time. You've got 2 weeks. You'll bring back your answers with you on the 28th. All right, so that's the passion indicator. All right, now we're going to move to something that tends to be fun, and that is temperament. Remember, what is temperament? Temperament provides unique personal characteristics and tendencies for ministry. It's who you are, in essence, and how those things can be applied to your ministry. So I've handed out for you a temperament indicator number one. Temperament indicator number one. And this is a profile, and it's pretty self-explanatory. You've got a list of different things on the front and the back of the page. And what you're going to do here, according to the directions, is you're going to list from number one to four. Four is most like you. Four is most like you, like the gift inventory. One is least like you. Okay? Hey, I like the music. That's nice. Thank you. All right. So for example, let's take a look at the sample that they've given on the top of the page. Would you describe yourself as direct, popular, loyal, or analytical? You're going to number those, one through four. Four is the most like you, one least like you. Now, here's the caveat. You've got to use all the numbers, one through four. Okay, you can't say four on all of them, or one on all of them, or one on two of them, and four on the other two. You've got to use one, two, three, and four. Okay? So which one sounds more like you? Direct, popular, loyal, or analytical? All right, let's take a look at the next one. This is where you actually start. The next one, decisive. And some of you are saying, my wife knows or my friend knows, I have the hardest time making a decision. That's not me. That's number one. All right? Outgoing. Well, I tend to be the life of the party, so yeah, mate, number four. Dependable or logical. Now, you can be all of those, but you can't be four of them. You can't be numbered four all of those, okay? You can only be four for one, three for another, two for another, one for another, all right? And so just go ahead and take the time to do it. There are a couple of questions, so Michelle. No, so you're going left to right. Left to right. Direct, popular, loyal, and analytical. You're using numbers one through four for the top row. And you just keep working your rows. Like you're reading a book, going across. Yeah. Yeah. There was a question back here. Adam, did you have a question? Okay, you got it? Okay, sheep.
I just
want
to really point out that this is related to a work-related environment.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
We are in work-related environment or ministry environment.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Very good. Thank you. All right. I'm going to give you some time to do that, and I'm going to be running around with some definitions for you.